Bill Doberstein, Chief of Police, City of Fortuna,
is today's guest on Talk Shop. And what is keeping Brian? I think I know where. He's trying to get all the candy.
Is he? I haven't seen him.
I don't know. So, I guess since it is Halloween and all, that could be a good topic for today.
Absolutely. Halloween is, it's Halloween. In Fortuna, we have a few neighborhoods that get hit hard on Halloween for trick-or-treaters. We have a lot of kids out tonight, and, you know, it's an opportunity to remind the public that you need to be out there, be safe tonight, and make sure that your kids have flashlights or reflective costumes, and we definitely don't want to see anybody get injured or hurt on Halloween, and just be watchful, you know. And there's a lot of people out there tonight, and for motorists, it's a big night to just be watchful and make sure that you're safe and the kids are safe.
I think I saw some movement. Oh, there he is. As I thought, he was getting at the candy bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Trick or treat.
So you must be going as a cop?
I am, yeah.
Or as a clown. I'm not sure, you know, with that red nose thingy.
Yeah. I'm called the town clown.
The town clown.
Yeah.
And the gown?
Yeah. And the gown.
You must be looking forward to this evening, huh?
Yeah, we were just talking about Halloween and, you know, being safe and making sure that the kids are, you know, wearing reflective gear or reflective costumes, having flashlights, that sort of thing. And then, you know, for the motorists out there, you know, we have a couple of neighborhoods in Fortuna that always get more trick-or-treaters than anywhere else because the houses are a little closer.
You mean the good candy places?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you know, the kind of places where people just kind of sit out in front of their door because you don't want to get up every 2 seconds to answer the door, and you just have a bowl of candy and you sit out in front of your door and pass it out. So we have a few of those places. And then the city, from 3 to 5 today, I believe, all the downtown merchants are giving away candy, and the police department's joining in on that. We're giving candy out at the police department. So
You're giving out free get out of jail free passes?
No, you don't get one of those.
Didn't work last year real well, huh?
Yeah, but it's crazy. We have last year we had to put two officers out on Main Street just with the traffic control with all the people that and the kids out there trick or treating. So we're looking forward to that.
Somehow that's so cool. You grew up here. I mean, you're flashback like I do, but that sounds like the old days. You know, now the model seems to be two or three large gatherings and everybody descends and it's a party thing so that kids aren't out on the street, and trick-or-treating seems to have almost become nostalgic and gone the way of a lot of things in history rather than something that is still being done throughout the town, like you were just describing.
Right, yeah. Definitely as, you know, with the newer subdivisions, houses are a little bit closer together. Like I said, the kids don't have to walk as far to get the candy. So I think that plays a role in that.
It helped to offset the amount of candy we used to get.
Yeah.
Did you do the pillowcase?
Oh, yeah. Did the pillowcase. Yeah, and after.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go home and dump it and go out a second time. Yeah.
Yeah. Set yourself up for the next two, 3 weeks, huh?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have. Has there been any goofy stuff over the years that you've learned from in your profession?
You know, it's the goofy stuff. We get a lot. We get a little bit of vandalism sometimes on Halloween. Get a lot of.
Well, that's people, part of that. It's almost part of the game.
Right, yeah. People out there, you know, I remember we had a big fire on Halloween night one night. This is it was about 20 years ago. You know, we get a lot of the people, you know, throwing pumpkins.
No. Go back to the fire here, buddy.
Yeah.
Big fire. Was it like a bonfire? Was it,
no, it was
creative at all, or was it just?
No, it was actually at Ill River Disposal. One of their, I don't know how it started, but it was on one of the trucks in their yard, and it just.
Oh,
caught up. So this is like 1997, probably.
Okay.
So it was a long time ago, but it was Halloween night.
purely coincidental, I'm sure.
Purely coincidental. Really, we didn't find any correlation to anything.
Oh, really? It just was?
It was coincidental that it happened to be on Halloween.
Yeah, that's probably your biggest fear, isn't it? That somebody's going to go seriously goofy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's, you just have to really be careful, you know, if you've got little kids out there, you know, make sure the parent or guardian or teenagers with them, you know, I mean, because, you know, unfortunately in the society and the world we live in today, you know, people will take any opportunity they can get to take advantage of somebody or do something. And we just have to really take an extra step and be careful.
Yeah. In the old days, you just had to protect the high school.
Right. Yeah.
From interlopers from Eureka.
Yeah, exactly.
Or vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I, knock on wood, that really hasn't been an issue for the last 10 or so years. There has been issues in the past, but I'm knocking on wood now.
And I'm not going to confess.
Yeah. Right.
I would imagine, though, that everybody enjoys creativeness. I mean, if you're to do something, if you really carry it and it's really creative, everybody's at least going to appreciate the effort that went in.
Absolutely. We have one of our dispatchers this morning dressed up as Waldo for Halloween. I came in here, and I thought Winston was a mad scientist, but he told me he's a character from
That is a cartoon, I guess.
It's a cartoon, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I got schooled on it kinda just before you got here.
Oh, okay. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24, planting seeds of mischief during commercial breaks. That's my job.
Yeah, give me some good ideas.
Bill Doberstein, Fortuna Police Chief, is alongside this morning. Bill, for this in our area, Halloween's still kind of all-American.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about Devil's Eve.
Right.
And some of the other things that go on in some communities. When you talk to chiefs of other regions, is this a period where they really, I mean, it's like the equivalent of maximum enforcement, that they're all over the place, they're trying to keep things down?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's Arcata, I know this is a big night for Arcata. We've actually sent officers, they've actually requested officers, and we've sent them on Halloween to the plaza. So this is a big night in Arcata, but there's cities scattered around our region and the
Chief,
state.
Chief Tom was in 2 weeks ago saying,
looking forward to Halloween.
Trying to keep things
right.
I still think he could use lard or pig fat and cover McKinley, but
yeah, that would keep people off it, right?
Well, yeah. Legal advice said that might not, yeah. Razor wire around on the cyclone fence would be a better thing.
Right,
or post
yeah.
a guy there for overtime for the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
You guys don't have any of that kind of stuff.
No, we don't have any statues downtown, thank God.
Yet.
Yeah. We're working on a gateway monument for the north entrance of Fortuna, which is going to be a huge project when we get that thing going. But, Halloween in Fortuna is pretty... You know, we do have some extra officers working tonight just because we have so many kids out trick-or-treating. And, we hit the areas, like I said before, that get a lot of trick-or-treaters. We hit those areas hard just to make sure they're safe.
Do you get a chance to have the guys walk the neighborhoods tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, because you got everybody out?
Sure, we'll park a car. You know, we like to park a car in some of those neighborhoods just to kind of have a visual presence there and then get out and walk around a little bit. Yeah, sure, we do that.
Not too far away from the car.
Not too far away from the car.
There's still
right.
the Pabstein factor, bud.
Right.
Yeah. And if something happens tonight, it wasn't me.
Right.
Right now, be very clear. Yeah.
You're not to blame.
No.
Absolutely not.
Don't bother fingerprinting it. You won't find mine.
Yep. You're excluded.
Good. I'm off the list. We'll see.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, boy. It's also kind of the unofficial kickoff then into the holidays.
It is, yeah. November tomorrow. We're looking, you know, and speaking of the holidays from a police standpoint, you know, this is always the time of year that we get a lot of vehicle thefts. We get a lot of items taken from vehicles. People go Christmas shopping, leave articles in the back seats of their cars, the front seats. You know, they go in somewhere, they go to a neighbor's house or something like that. They don't lock their doors. And we see a really big uptick this time of year in thefts from vehicles and things like that. So it's a good opportunity to remind people, lock your doors. Don't leave anything visible
in your car. That seems so basic, doesn't it? Lock your door?
It does seem, but, you know, we had a meeting, a safety meeting yesterday at the Fortuna Chamber of Commerce lunch, and it was about personal safety. And
were you the featured speaker?
I was not, actually. Our crime prevention specialist, Ina Cabrera, was the featured speaker, but I was there in attendance.
Supporting.
And he did a great job, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we talked about all those issues, personal safety, you know, just kind of being aware of your surroundings and things like that. But it's amazing that, you know, in 2017 that some people still have, you know, they don't lock their door at night when they go to bed, and they leave their car unlocked in front of their house. And we've had stolen vehicles. We've had items stolen from vehicles. We get those reports all the time. And, you know, the car wasn't locked. The door was unlocked.
Small town folks?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's still those people out there.
You don't want to lose that somehow.
You don't want to lose it.
But I don't know how you can do it and still be safe.
You don't want to lose it, but, yeah, you need – I mean, there needs to be some level of awareness and, you know – Fortuna is a safe city, you know, it really is a safe city. But you know, we have things happen there too, and people will take things from you, and they will steal from you,
that predation,
right?
It's out there somehow,
right? But, you know, no one likes being a victim. I mean, kid leaves their bike on the front yard and wakes up the next morning and it's gone. You know, we get a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, and it's sad, but we need to be aware. We need to lock our stuff up. We need to put our bikes in the garage when we go in for the night and those sorts of things.
Stupid question, but hey, that's my, after 40 years, that's my expertise. Would it make sense in perfect world, okay, so you're fully staffed and your staff is whatever you want,
right,
to have more of your guys and gals at nighttime than daytime? Even though I know most crimes happen during daytime.
Right.
But nighttime, to have that sense of safety in the neighborhoods?
We have a minimum staffing, and we typically have three people on duty at all times. But, you know, when you're looking at staffing, you're looking at, you know, what's your highest call volume? Because, you know, we also have to respond to calls for service. So typically the daytime hours are higher than the nighttime hours. So we have to kind of utilize our staff more on the daytime. But we try to have three people on through most of the night. We have a minimum staffing of two, so there's always two cops working at any one time. So,
but that's really easy. I mean, one guy, somebody cruises the neighborhood, you count to 25, and
right,
you know you're on your own then.
Well, we've done some things like bicycle patrol. I know our guys on Graveyard Shift are out there riding. We have a police bike, and they've went out before on the bike and rode the neighborhood.
Is it green?
It's not green.
Do the wheels not match?
No, wheels match. It's even has.
Well, then it's easy to see, stand apart from other bikes that are out there that time.
Yeah,
of day.
You know, they don't hear a car coming, and it's easy to go undetected.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Bill Doberstein. Bill, looking at some of the different changes in the law over the years, has it made it easier or more difficult to be a cop? I'm not being facetious, but as there's more laws, more standards, more guidelines that are kicked out, one could argue, well, now there's more clarity, less personal interpretation, because now it's all black and white, what is and what isn't. Has it become clearer or more confusing?
Well, I think both. Like when it comes to domestic violence laws and things like that, I think that that's very clear, you know, very clear what we do. And those laws are in place to protect victims of domestic violence. And it's very clear on what a police officer does when they respond to a domestic violence call versus, you know, I'm going to say Prop 47, Prop 57, AB 109. You know, those have.
You know what's sad is I kind of almost know what those mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just throwing numbers out because they get referenced so regularly.
They get referenced so regularly, but it's really it's changed the way we do business, really. I mean, with misdemeanors, or should I should say felonies that were once felonies are now misdemeanors. So, you know, obviously they don't get held in jail. You know, some misdemeanors have become infractions. So the consequences for, you know, a lot of theft and property crimes have really diminished with those propositions. And also changing the classification from a lot of crimes, from felonies to misdemeanors, a lot of drug crimes, a lot of sexual crimes have been changed from felonies to misdemeanors. So
really?
We don't get
the sexual crimes have also been dummied down?
Yeah. There's some like statutory rapes and things like that used to be carry a lot harsher penalty than they do nowadays, thanks to Prop 57.
So, other than frustration from the law enforcement community, a lot of the bad guys are out on the street more regularly.
Right.
So, the repeat offender, or what, the recidivism, I think is the $10 word for that. You're just seeing the same folks more regularly?
We're seeing the same folks more regularly. They're not being held on the same charges that they were being held on before. And, you know, we have our jail is only so big, too. So, you know, if they're holding all the people in the jail, obviously, you know, they only could hold so many people, and then they have to start releasing people. So they have to, you know, if it's a higher gravity crime, obviously that person's going to stay in jail versus a lower gravity crime. But in essence, basically those, you know, especially Prop 47 have this really, It's easier to cut a citation than it is to drive to jail when they're just going to be given a citation for court anyway and be out on the street again.
So how do you make that call? How to counsel your folks on what to do? I would think if genetically for you something is a felony.
Right.
the whims of today may or may not apply. It's still a serious event, still a serious crime, still needs to be treated seriously.
Absolutely. And we in Fortuna, we treat all those crimes serious. And when we can, when staffing allows, we do take them to jail. We book them into jail, even if they're going to be released. And there needs to be some kind of consequence for the crime. And I think at least going through the booking process at the jail is better than just getting a citation on the sidewalk, essentially, and a court date.
When they go through the booking process, does that stick on their record?
Yeah.
It's treated differently, let's say, in 2 years when something else happens versus a citation for the same event, you process it differently?
You know, they'll be fingerprinted, they'll be photographed at the jail, and they'll be, you know, booked properly at the jail, which is a good thing. And that might help us down the road. I mean, we might need to get a photo of that person or something like that. Essentially, it's the same violation. If they were cited on the street or booked into the jail, I mean, they're going to get a court date for the same violation, and then it's up to the judge and the court system on what, you know, penalties happen to them.
I would figure just for community safety perceptions, taking somebody to the jail would be what you'd want to do.
It is what we want to do.
It might be tougher to backfill and cover the next event while the guy or gal is driving to the house, but
absolutely. And And like I said, we strive, if it's, especially if it's a bookable offense, we're going to take them there every time. But we strive to take everybody that we can to the jail. And when they commit a crime in the city of Fortuna, they're going to be booked into the jail, even if they're going to be released with a court date.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We shall return.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. It's not like it took me a long time to figure out what time it was. I just dramatic pause, yeah. Just in case.
Keep Bill, the audience in suspense.
Yeah. No, no, that's the old time shows on the weekends. Oh. What are you hoping for the holidays, Bill, in Fortuna? You'd said, you know, at least pay attention if you're shopping.
Right.
That's probably any time. You know, if you go grocery shopping, you don't leave.
It's all year round, but it's just more prevalent this time of year because people are, you know, a lot of them are driving into Eureka to go to the mall or to go shopping. They're bringing their items back. And, you know, we get, like I said, we just get a lot of issues with theft from vehicles this time of year.
Is it more people shopping or more people cruising for people who are shopping?
I think it's more people cruising for people who are shopping. You know, last year we got hit with quite a few of the UPS and FedEx boxes that people leave on their porches.
The porches, yeah.
Yeah, and, we set up actually a little sting where we were following the UPS truck around to see if we can catch somebody doing it. Didn't work out for us, and that was a good day. You know, nothing was stolen, but we had quite a few of the thefts from doorsteps.
But you guys,
and things like that.
You kind of did look funny wearing those little brown shorts and the little brown socks.
Yeah,
too,
exactly. Yeah, you won't see me in those brown shorts.
No, hopefully not again. Yeah,
not again. Once was enough.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of seared in people's minds. But yeah, I mean, small little things like that. You know, you guys, I know, have the reference as a sting. For me, it's like, hey, let's just be a little creative here and see what's going on.
Right.
And be a mailman for a day. You know, and just see what's going on.
One of the great things that just happened in our department is on Friday we were able to, was the last day, we're selecting a new POP officer and a problem-oriented policing officer and a new detective. And one of the really cool things about the POP position is they're going to focus on things like this. They're going to be out there in an unmarked vehicle doing things like this. So, we've always been kind of short-staffed and never had the personnel really, unless someone came in on overtime or something like that to do something like this. So to have somebody that's there to work on neighborhood complaints, neighborhood problems, theft, any kind of issue that arises is going to be a really positive thing for the Fortuna Police Department.
Yeah, I would think, particularly where the station is located,
mm-hmm.
That's almost a walking position.
Right.
I mean, yeah, okay, you need to have the wheels to be able to take the bad guys away, but you know, a good set of handcuffs and maybe a little bit of chain link.
Right.
Keep them, in place so you can come back. And just walk to neighborhoods. You know, within a quarter mile, you probably have got a third of the neighborhoods from
the
state. You know, just kind of, eyes out and people seeing whether he's in uniform or not.
Right. And we're planning to do things like that. We've got a whole laundry list of things that we want to do, but, that's definitely part of it is, being visible and, these constant neighborhood complaints. Another thing that Fortuna is struggling with right now is code compliance and, getting a code compliance officer.
Oh, congratulations, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You're smiling. You know exactly what I think. No, not you, the city.
Oh.
Aaron had the comment last week about the point of discussion, sphere of influence, all that stuff kind of being taken. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, that's a big issue. The sphere of influence and with all the marijuana growing that the county's permitting or they're in the permit process or however you want to put it, but it's directly affecting the city of Fortuna because it's, a fence separating a grow from the city of Fortuna. So there's a lot of those that are in the permit process, but they're going in the right I mean, at least we're having a dialogue on it now, and I think it's going in the right direction.
Cool. But that's not what you're going to use the pop officer for.
No. No, of course not.
Yeah.
he's going to be a jack of all trades, actually.
So no weed whacker part of his initial
tool set. We haven't got plans for that at this point, no.
It's kind of tough, you know, with the utility belt to be able to put one of those things on there.
I'm sure we can figure it out, though.
Just give him your brown shorts, will you?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and the socks and the shoes.
Right.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Sure.
Happy Halloween.